Welcome to the Laser Therapy Institute Weekly Podcast, the world's first podcast about medical laser therapy for healthcare providers. Each week, we discuss the latest research, interviews with experts, and how laser therapy can enhance your practice. Now, here is the founder of LTI and your host, Dr. Jason Roundtree.
This is our first podcast towards clinicians in about 7-8 months now. So we're happy to be back with some info there. We're jumping right into brand new research. And we're going to be talking today about age-related brain diseases. My name is Dr. Jason Roundtree. I'm a chiropractor and a certified medical laser safety officer. This is Christy. Christy is a certified laser tech, and she also puts together all of our online course material for Laser Therapy Institute.
Yes.
We're quite busy with all that. We've got some amazing course material. We've got tons of free content. If you have not been to the website yet and you're a laser therapy practitioner, please go to the website. You'll find something that will be helpful for you in your practice. Mm-hmm. And if you can't find something helpful, email me and I'll give you something helpful. But today's kind of exciting, I think, because we're going to be talking about, a new study that came out just this year in January. It's one of, very new. Wow. It's one of over 100 studies that have already been published this year. It's kind of interesting going through some of the new studies that have come out. There's a higher percentage of negative findings.
Really?
Which, out of these studies. Yeah, and so I've been looking at that a little bit, because over the 6,000 or so studies that we have on laser therapy, the huge majority have very, very positive outcomes, very good findings. Mm-hmm. And it looks to me like a little bit higher percentage of the studies that come out this year are showing either neutral findings or really no benefits at all, which is really interesting. So I tried to break that down a little bit. It looks like we have more studies on for one thing, different wavelengths like amber and blue laser. So that's interesting. Yep, it is. But that's where some of those negative findings are coming from. Mm-hmm. Also, some very, very weak light sources compared to previous years. Some LED studies that are extremely weak and outputting very, very little light, and those have some negative results as well. And then there's quite a few polychromatic light studies where we're using like broad spectrum light, like lights in your house kind of a thing, that are maybe extra bright, but multiple wavelengths. Lots of different wavelengths, very scattered light, and those are pretty poor results in general too, as you might expect if you're looking at this.
Yeah, the scattering, just that word.
Right.
It's like, okay.
Yeah.
It's getting there.
Light that's not getting directed in the direction that it needs to go would certainly, I think, be less effective in a lot of cases. And that's what it looks like so far in the research. Not that there's no benefits being shown, but I think that's where some of the higher percentage of failures come from. Mm-hmm. And please keep doing the research. If you're a researcher, please keep it up. Mm-hmm. Because even the failures we see build on our knowledge of what photobiomodulation, laser therapy, can do. We need to know what blue and amber and green lasers can and cannot do. We need to know that, because otherwise it's an open question. We need to know what you get from polychromatic broad spectrum light or what you don't get, because that helps to narrow down what we know and don't know about the field. And that is the biggest thing with this study we're looking at today from the journal Neurophotonics. It's titled Transcranial Photobiomodulation for Brain Diseases, Review of Animal and Human Studies, Including Mechanisms and Emerging Trends. And one of the biggest recommendations from this is that we need more research. So even if it's negative, we still need lots more research.
Well, you don't know what you don't know.
Exactly.
So you need to research it to find out.
Yes.
So that seems very simplistic. But
it's very accurate. And it's very, it's always exciting to see studies with positive outcomes and results. But we need to know just as equally, what works and what doesn't work. What do we need to avoid doing?
Right,
to have good effects with photobiomodulation, light therapy in general.
Right.
So I like this study. It's the only one I know of that actually combines animal and human studies into the same review with a focus on brain health. Mm. And so there's a lot of information here. It is an open access study, so you can go pull this whole study up and read the whole thing if you want to. Highly encourage you to do so if you've got the time. It's 15 pages of pretty dense material, but there's some really interesting things in it. So we'll drop the link as usual in our copies where we are, the places where we can link that study for you.
Right.
So I'm just going to go through some highlights here and try and summarize this a bit, because if you're looking at laser therapy for brain health, it's a really exciting field. So they start off by saying that brain diseases account for 30% of all known diseases, which is crazy when you think about it. You know, all the different, the musculoskeletal system, the liver, the kidneys, the digestive system. I mean, those, yes, but brain is 30% of all known diseases.
Wow.
They say the brain is extremely vulnerable to various disorders, including cerebrovascular diseases, neurodegenerative diseases, brain inflammation, etc., and that drug therapy may produce adverse side effects. And the highly selective permeability of the blood-brain barrier significantly limits brain drug delivery, resulting in disappointing therapeutic effects. So basically, we're not getting the effects we would want to see from drugs due to the structure of the brain, the blood-brain barrier, and it makes it a lot harder to treat with medication-based therapies. Also, another thing that I would like to point out that wasn't really noted in the study but that is important is that we see a lot of good results on brain therapeutics with drugs in mouse and rat studies that then when you put them into a human trial, they don't have the same payoff at all.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Animal studies are a great place to start, but they have to be backed up by the human trials, too, because you can see a lot with animal studies, but it does not always directly translate. They say there are some exciting therapies that are out there, like stem cell therapy, transcranial magnetic stimulation, but they say that there are some downsides and some risks and a lot of unknowns to those. For transcranial magnetic stimulation especially, they say that we lack clear mechanisms underlying the therapeutic effects, and the absence of widely accepted guidelines and standards for treating brain diseases really does impede the clinical application of stuff like TMS. Although, again, highly encourage people to look into it because it's an interesting therapy for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they jump straight away pretty much here into laser therapy. They say, because brain disorders are closely related to mitochondrial activity, mm-hmm. mitochondria being the powerhouse of the cell, of course,
mm-hmm.
transcranial photobiomodulation or laser therapy may have beneficial effects on various brain diseases. Now, they're referring specifically to applying low irradiance red and near infrared light through the skull directly to the brain tissue to achieve neuroprotection, behavioral improvement, and so on. One of the most recognized molecular mechanisms of transcranial photobiomodulation is that cytochrome C oxidase may dissociate inhibitory nitric oxide after absorbing photons of red and near-infrared light. That enhances mitochondrial activity, promotes ATP biosynthesis, and then because these brain disorders are related to mitochondrial issues, that can have significant beneficial effects directly on the brain disorders.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some barriers to that, of course. We already talked about the blood-brain barrier. Thankfully, the blood-brain barrier really does not prevent us from getting light into the tissues, but what kind of barriers do you think of when we're talking about putting light on the skull directly?
Well, the skull itself.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it just is beyond me how light can penetrate the skull, but it does.
Absolutely. Yeah, it does, and that is beyond most people don't think about, you know, bone being translucent, but it actually is mm-hmm. to the right type of light.
Right.
Yeah, so if you get the right color of light, the right wavelength, those photons, that light energy can pass through the skull, can go through the scalp, can actually interact with the tissues in the brain. Obviously, you lose a lot on your way through those layers.
Right.
But you really can get beneficial light to the brain tissues.
So it just means a higher power laser or unit.
Yeah, higher energy overall,
mm-hmm.
yes, seems to be important, as well as the right wavelength.
Mm-hmm.
So they say that specifically when it comes to wavelength, 660, 808, 850, and 1064 nanometer light can significantly increase cytochrome C oxidase activity and expression level. And after boosting cytochrome C oxidase, the mitochondrial membrane potential is increased. More oxygen is consumed, more glucose is metabolized, more ATP is produced. It's a whole cascade of beneficial effects. So because of that, photobiomodulation can increase cell respiration, boost brain energy metabolic capacity, enhance brain electrophysiological oscillation in alpha and beta bands, and improve cerebral oxygenation, which would constitute an adaptation with major neuroprotective implications after brain disease. So all those effects constitute an adaptation in the brain with major neuroprotective implications for brain diseases. Mm-hmm. Neuroprotective meaning you're protecting the nerve, you're protecting mm-hmm. the brain itself.
Right.
So that's a huge step because we don't have a lot of things right now that are neuroprotective, especially when it comes to drugs. Neuroinflammation is one of the crucial pathophysiological conditions associated with various brain disorders. Now, neuroinflammation is inflammation around the brain, mm-hmm. right? A lot of things can stimulate that process. We're going to talk about some of them today. And the photobiomodulation treatment on the brain can actually decrease the expression of pro-inflammatory cytokines by inhibiting the NF-kappa-beta signaling pathways. It can also directly alter the phenotype of glial cell and then regulate the release of inflammatory cytokines. It can also reduce the number of cortical pro-inflammatory phenotype microglia in ischemic stroke and brain trauma mouse models. Now again, we have to be careful translating everything from mouse models to human models, but this is the down and dirty, and I'm going through some of these details because I always have people go, yeah, okay, but how does it work? This is how it works. If you really want to know, you got to get down and dirty into what's really happening. Should I wave my arms around?
Sure. There we go.
We got a timer light in here we cannot change. All right.
Welcome so if to
we're,
our world.
Yeah, if we're waving our arms randomly. That's why. Okay. So another thing you need to note if you're going to talk about the way this really works, and if you're going to understand how laser therapy can be beneficial for your patients, is that laser therapy can improve the lymph flow in the meningeal lymphatic vessels, which improves removal of pro-inflammatory cytokines from the brain. You're taking out the trash.
That's a good way to put it. I mean, my brain doesn't follow all those terms.
A lot of people's doesn't.
When you say taking out the trash, that solidifies it right there.
If you think about it, I mean, if you sprain your ankle, you get swelling, right?
Right.
You know, that's an accumulation of inflammatory fluids, cytokines, all this junk, and it hurts. And it slows down healing ultimately. So what do you got to do? You got to get the swelling down, right? It's the same thing in the brain. You have injury, inflammatory changes. That tends to pool up in the brain. You need to get it out. So not only does laser therapy reduce the inflammatory cascade, but it clears out the channels so that stuff doesn't just sit in the brain.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I think so.
Makes sense, yeah.
So don't ask me more questions about how it works. No, I'm just kidding. I will talk about it all day if you let me. But that's why I go through this, is because people go, yeah, I know you're saying that it helps, but how? How does it help? That is how. You reduce the inflammatory cascade, you stimulate the cells themselves directly through the mitochondria, and you clear out the lymphatic blockages that can start with these inflammatory conditions. So that's how.
And then it goes from there.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a bunch more information here. I'm going to actually skip some of it. If you want to know more, shoot us an email, info@lasertherapyinstitute.org, or like I said, grab you a copy of this study. It's out there. It's available for you. Now, let's talk about some specific disorders, because it's really critical that we know that this works well, but for what specific disorders? So number one, glioblastoma. Now, glioblastoma is the most common and most aggressive form of brain cancer. It is the deadliest or one of the deadliest brain tumors. Now, recently, they say, it was discovered that glioblastomas are characterized by reducing functions of those vessels, those meningeal, what do we call them? Meningeal lymphatic vessels. Mm-hmm. So if you have decreased clearance of junk from the brain, you're at potentially increased risk of brain cancer. They play a huge role in regulation of tumor drainage and immunity overall. Laser can improve the function there. So potentially, we don't know for sure, but potentially reducing the risk of this really much more common form of brain cancer.
And forgive me, but we don't want to laser near or over active cancer cells.
That is a
so
very good
how
point.
How does that translate here? Maybe you want to save that for another podcast?
No, actually, this is a good time to say that. Yes. So active cancer right now is going to be listed as one of the contraindications mm-hmm. to laser therapy. You don't want to apply laser light directly to a tumor, mainly because we're not totally sure what will happen, but potentially you could stimulate faster growth of the tumor. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, there's a lot of information that says the opposite. But right now, just that's one of the contraindications across the board, is we just don't laser active tumors. But In this case, we're talking about prevention of cancer. And so by keeping those vessels, those lymphatic vessels open, you might potentially be reducing chances of glioblastoma cancer.
Okay.
So
good clarification.
Absolutely. I'm glad you brought it up. Next one they go into is ischemic stroke, which is a sudden cerebrovascular disease, very high mortality, loss of blood to a section of the brain because of a blockage, right? So some studies, they say, have proved that blood-brain barrier damage, which is caused by ischemic stroke, could increase the permeability of blood vessels, resulting in blood cells and neurotoxins entering the brain and causing brain damage. It may activate inflammatory signals and trigger a whole series of events there, which further aggravates brain damage. It may also alter the mitochondrial morphology and permeability, leading to decreased ATP levels, which thereby induces further cell damage and apoptosis or cell death. Well, we just talked about all those things being better with laser therapy, right? So they say laser therapy has the effects of mitochondrial function improvement and anti-inflammation, which could be a potential therapeutic approach for ischemic stroke, especially wavelengths of 660, 780, 808, and 904 nanometer lasers have beneficial effects of neuroprotection, anti-inflammation, and cognitive improvement in ischemic stroke rat models. Now, less positive results have been found when they try and translate that to human models, but we just don't have enough studies yet to really say one way or the other if you can do a lot with laser or potentially not.
Okay.
But the idea is pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
And the next one they go into is Alzheimer's. And this is one of the really exciting ones.
Mm-hmm.
Because Alzheimer's is, as we know, a neurodegenerative disease. It is more and more common every day. And there are very, very poor strategies out there for it. There are some medications now they've introduced that might slow the progression of Alzheimer's, but don't show any level of improvement. And they cost $5,000 a month to taxpayers, generally.
And then they're finding they're not as effective.
Correct.
You know, so...
Correct. It's really, really, really rough. And if you're dealing with someone with Alzheimer's, or if you're looking at Alzheimer's, I mean, it is heartbreaking and it is horrible. So anything that can help is good. We're not in a good position with Alzheimer's right now.
No.
They say there's a lack of effective therapeutic strategies for Alzheimer's disease in clinical practice. Now, the amyloid cascade hypothesis proposes that depositions of the amyloid beta peptide in the brain is really the central event in disease pathology. There's some debate on that. We know that neuroinflammation and high sugars, high glucose levels, seem to stimulate these formations, and these might even be a protective mechanism, these amyloid plaques. But no matter what, they're a part of the issue. Now, they say there is compelling evidence suggesting that transcranial laser therapy is capable of decreasing the amyloid burden and reducing these cognitive and memory impairments. Now, some of the studies they did, though, showed that you'd have to get treated for potentially up to 12 weeks before you really see some level of results. Now, just keep that in mind, that sometimes you need time to see the results, and then most of the time you're going to need some level of maintenance care as well. All this is still theoretical, so don't take it and run with it. You know, it's not an FDA-approved use of laser at this point, but overall, we're seeing some really positive improvements.
Potential.
Yes.
Lots of potential there. So.
Parkinson's is another one. Kind of similar to Alzheimer's in that we're talking about a progressive neurodegenerative disorder. More than 6 million patients worldwide. Now, some accepted points of view, they say, are that mitochondrial dysfunction, oxidative stress, and protein mishandling have a very central role in this degradation of mental capabilities in Parkinson's. But that laser therapy has been shown to improve mitochondrial structure and function, which mitigates oxidative stress and therefore has beneficial effects for Parkinson's disease. Now, this is one where we have studies showing lots of different things with lots of different wavelengths, lasering lots of different areas. They say you can look at some studies that lasered the abdomen and the brain together, that gut-brain axis. Others go through the neck, talk about treating the neck and intranasal up in the sinuses. Also treating the brainstem specifically can be of benefit too. And I think what we're seeing there is a development of the systemic kind of effects that you need to achieve with these neurodegenerative disorders. The gut is important, yes. Mm-hmm. The brainstem is important, yes. The neck is important, though, too, because all that lymphatic fluid has mm-hmm. to go somewhere, and it's only got one place it can go. It's down through the neck and then into the rest of the body. So if you're going to be opening up these channels, you need to have somewhere they can go. So treating the neck, treating the abdomen, treating the head directly, the brainstem, all seem to be potentially really important points to have in your treatment strategy if you're using laser for something like Parkinson's.
Which is totally different if you're saying, well, let's just put person in a tube, laser yeah. tube.
Yeah.
Go listen to another podcast that we have on that.
Right. Yeah. No, we've gone around there. And around on some of that stuff. Yeah. You know, the full body light therapy, applying directly okay. to damage versus working through the nerves, the mm-hmm. lymphatic system. I mean, there's a lot that goes into this kind of stuff. This right. is very much an overview of a lot
right.
of these things.
Right.
But we've gone into a lot more detail in a lot of our other podcasts for sure. Mm-hmm. There's just a couple more. They talk about MS, mm-hmm. multiple sclerosis. They say it's one of the most common chronic inflammatory demyelinating diseases. Excuse me. It affects 2 to 3 million people worldwide. One of the prominent characteristics of MS is the infiltration of human type 1 helper lymphocytes from peripheral blood into the brain and spinal cord, which again should not really be happening. That leads to the activation of microglia, which reduces that neuroinflammation and causes neuronal death and demyelination. So again, going back to laser reducing neuroinflammation as a way to interact with this process and hopefully reduce it or stop it. Mm-hmm. Traumatic brain injuries listed too here. They say that, you know, that's an alteration in brain function caused by an external trauma of multiple different types, multiple different degrees. They say traumatic brain injury is really complex because they're all so different. But overall, laser therapy for TBI mitigates the death of brain neurons, decreases neuroinflammation, again, and improves the self-repair ability of the brain by stimulating synapses formation and proliferation of nerve cells, which demonstrates really high potential for laser therapy to do a lot with mm-hmm. traumatic brain injury. They do go into some depth saying that pulsed laser flashing seems mm-hmm. to be better than continuously on laser. But again, see our other podcasts on
right.
that. They do talk about chronic traumatic encephalopathy, which is like long-term TBI, and laser's application there, that significant improvements have been seen in cognition and behavior and mood after, again, a series of treatments, you know, not just a couple, but a series of laser therapy treatments. But I wanted to touch on depression. Depression is another one that they go into because it's one of the most prevalent and debilitating forms of psychopathology. Lack of energy, depressed mood, low executive ability, poor concentration, right? More than 16% of people worldwide are affected. That's a huge amount of people. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of preclinical studies and clinical trials that have been done to demonstrate that laser therapy has beneficial effects on depression. Now, the specifics of that, again, still very much up for debate, but overall, pretty positive. Aging. Aging's another one. They say, you know, the older we get, everything's just mm-hmm. less functional, mm-hmm. more vulnerable. So laser therapy can increase blood flow velocity in the brain. It can also show good improvements in cognitive function, resting state EEG, alpha, beta, and gamma power, and prefrontal blood oxygen level dependent functional MRI activity, meaning we're getting better function in the brain tissues with the application of light, specifically 633 nanometers, 870 nanometers, and 1064 nanometers. So, I'm not going to get into the specifics on that. Again, we've got lots of others yep. just to touch on it.
Right.
Epilepsy is the last one. And then we'll kind of finish out here today. But epilepsy, they say, a lifelong condition characterized by these spontaneous and recurrent seizures, affects 70 million people worldwide. Photobiomodulation, especially with near-infrared light, could be a potential non-invasive and effective therapy for inhibiting epileptogenesis. Epileptogenesis. I was so close.
I was going to say...
Epileptogenesis? Yeah. So epileptogenesis is the creation of epilepsy, right? Mm-hmm. So the origination of epilepsy, mm-hmm. and also in alleviating epilepsy damage, because the more seizures you have, the more likely it is you have brain damage.
Right.
So it can be good for both. Okay. That was a lot of things. So let's tie it up, because if we're talking about all these potential benefits that you can have from laser therapy to brain, why isn't everybody doing it? Mm-hmm. And why don't I just go do it right now? Well, okay, there's a lot with this. So the main disadvantages of photobiomodulation is not the side effects, is not the risk factors. It is the limited information about optimal protocols for the effective therapy of specific brain diseases. Despite the large number of experimental and clinical studies, it remains unclear whether laser therapy effects on the energy, metabolic, hemodynamic drainage, and immune processes of the brain are nonspecific, or whether they depend on specific characteristics of brain diseases. So is it different for different diseases or not? We still don't even know that. The light delivery strategy is also important for the treatment of brain diseases. The majority of light delivery is either right through the skull or intranasal, but photons are scattered by the scalp, the skull, the meninges, the cerebrospinal fluid before they ever even get to the brain tissue. Thus, only a small number of photons can effectively reach the brain tissues. In fact, in most brain diseases, deep areas of the central nervous system are also involved, like in patients with Parkinson's, the midbrain is involved there. So they say the development of innovative strategies to deliver light deeper, including, for example, modern lasers with deep penetration into brain tissues, will open a new era in transcranial photobiomodulation for the treatment of brain diseases. That's important because of the drug-brain barrier, the blood-brain barrier, preventing drugs from being really that effective. And for Alzheimer's disease specifically, being able to clear out those amyloid plaques could be really, really huge.
Well, and then we mentioned earlier, too, there's really no side effect to light
right.
therapy, where the drugs that they're looking at potentially do have numerous side effects.
Yes.
Anyway.
And they might be worth some of the side effects,
right.
but so far the outcomes on the drugs are pretty poor. So is it even worth the side effects? And a lot of people decide no.
Right.
They do mention that, yeah, laser therapy is extremely safe. It's really pretty easy to use in clinic once you know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it can even be safe for home use, depending on what the patient's got going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess just to finalize everything, this is really exciting because it's the first time we've seen them compile this many animal and human studies into one area and say, look, there's a lot of potential here for these brain disorders, but you need to know what you're doing. You need to have the right equipment to do it.
Exactly.
That's where we come into play. We can give you the protocols that we've been using for years already that actually line up with all the new research that's come out. We have new protocols actually coming on board in the next month for neurodegenerative diseases specifically. Laser settings, protocols, how often to treat, how to know when you're being successful, how long do you treat? What power do you use on your laser? What wavelength do you use? We can answer those questions for you, help you find the answers that will work for you and your clinic.
Mm-hmm.
So give us a call. We got a phone number posted on the website. Go to the website, check out the free stuff we can give you, and you can go download stuff right now.
Mm-hmm.
You can see webinars that we've done on multiple subjects. There's a lot of information. And if all else fails, just email me. info@lasertherapyinstitute.org will help you get this set up and ready to rock and roll in your clinic. That's all I got.
That's a lot.
It is a lot. Get the study.
Yes.
Read the study. It's really, really interesting. If you can make it through it, let me know. leave a comment. Let me know that you made it all the way through that study. Otherwise, hopefully listening to this today has been beneficial. Thank you very much, and we'll see you next week.
Subscribe now to keep learning about the growing field of laser therapy. Check out our patient-focused podcast, Healing at the Speed of Light, a great resource for your patients. For massive practice growth and improved patient outcomes, become a certified Laser Therapy Institute clinic. Learn how at lasertherapyinstitute.org.